listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We get to check in with Lutheran Bible translators today about some exciting things in the Bible translation world, including a historic goal for global Bible translations.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu.
Joining us today in studio is the Reverend Dr. Rich Udowski, Executive Director for Lutheran Bible Translators. Welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Great to be back.
In person, too.
In person, yeah. I don't know. It's been a while.
It has.
Since we've been in person, yeah.
It has been a while. So yeah. It's good to have you here to talk about the work of Lutheran Bible Translators. And since it has been a while, why don't you remind our listeners about the work of LBT, Lutheran Bible Translators, what you guys get to do every day?
Sure, yeah. As the name implies, the most core thing is we are helping language communities around the world in the 7,000 plus languages that are out there translate the Bible into their language, have access to God's word in the language they understand best. We've been at that for 60 years. In addition to that, working with those same communities to improve engagement with the Bible, whatever barrier is preventing vibrant access to Scripture. Sometimes that is no Bible translation available. Sometimes it's other things. And then investing in the capacity of the church and local language communities to have enduring access to Scripture, like they've got it, how to keep doing it, how to revise, how to whatever it is that's needed to engage with God's Word.
Why is it important to you that Bible translation continues on today?
The biggest reason for me is just how much the Word of God has impacted me in my own life. I mean, and having access to that gift of God's Word available for me in good times and bad and everything. And just, it was over 20 years ago, I first heard about the need for Bible translation and lack of Bible access in the world, and just realizing like there's an opportunity to give this gift that I've had my entire life that's really been meaningful to others. I want everybody to have the opportunity to pick up God's word in a way that can understand it.
You obviously are very passionate about God's word and making sure that people hear it around the world. What was that path for you to where you are today serving with Lutheran Bible Translators?
I'll go with the shortest version. So I was at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis as a SEM student. I wanted to be a pastor in the United States. My wife wanted us to be missionaries. Without my knowledge, she got us connected with a recruiter from Lutheran Bible Translators, and there's a longer version, but the rest is history. We went to Botswana, served in Bible translation, and started a Bible translation that just finished a couple of years ago. You know, 250,000 people have access to God's word that didn't because the Lord sent us there, and we got to be on the front lines of making that happen.
Tell us about that time out in the field. What did you learn through your experience serving as a missionary with Lutheran Bible Translators?
The main thing I learned is to listen and to be with people and just appreciate their life and participate and be curious and enjoy being with people. And I always remember when we finally were leaving the village after we'd lived there for a number of years, we had done a number of things. We'd like definitively created a writing system with them that we could, because there's never been writing in the language before. The Gospel of Luke was just about to print. Like we did, you know, things that look like tangible ministry outcomes. But the thing everybody talked about was, we remember that when the village was out of water, you know, we had a water reserve tank and we just opened it up and everybody could come and take water. We remember like you ate our food and, you know, just that stuff. Or when we hear you talk, we don't even know that you're not part of us, you know. So that's really exciting.
What do you carry from your time in the field as a missionary to your role now as executive director that helps you in that role?
Yeah, I mean, it has been hugely helpful to understand what life is like on the front line where God's word is first coming into community and all of the barriers that exist there to advocate for whatever is needed to help remove those barriers. And so just to encourage our folks that, you know, that are on the front lines there as either expat missionaries or the church leaders in the field, knowing what it feels like to have been there myself and to take each step by step. I just can't lose that. And so I would love to have never left Botswana and to still be, I mean, there's still Bible work to be done. But the consolation I give myself as an administrator and leader is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get to do what I was doing because we strive to provide a good context and resources and all that to make ministry happen.
You mentioned creating the written language as part of the translation project. What are some things about Bible translation that people may not realize have to happen in that process of creating a Bible translation for a language?
Yeah, you know, there's most of the places where there is not access, there's never been any first-time access to the Bible, they're in really hard places, and all the low-hanging fruit has been picked, if you will. And so there are places that are hard to get to. Again, most of them have never had any system of writing. It's a verbal language that, you know, people speak and transmit information. And so just overcoming that, or finding solutions to kind of get that initial traction without needing writing. Ultimately, everybody wants a system of writing for their Bible and a book they can hold and cherish. But yeah, and there's a lot to that. I mean, there's whole like courses of things to understand linguistics and how sound works, and how you, the whole philosophy for how you create symbol to sound matches and stuff like that, that we're involved in. We get the privilege of being a part of and working with some really talented folks to make that happen.
Is there a correlation between Bible translation, the work of Bible translation today, and literacy in communities where you're serving?
Yeah. Yes, I wish I had like the best, clearest statistics on it. But one I can say is most languages in the world that have any literacy or writing on it is because Bible translation happened. That's how writing came to be in the language. And then certainly literacy is a key component of the work. We do a lot of work to ensure that literacy is not a barrier. So there's a lot of non-print work that happens, and people can just listen to scripture. But the teaching of literacy, of how to read, is a critical part of the work. And there are higher literacy rates where Bible translation has happened, for sure.
So where does LBT serve around the world? We've mentioned a couple of places, but yeah. But I think your work is fairly global.
Yeah, we are in all over Africa. We're in the Pacific Islands, Southeast Asia, work in the Middle East, and then in North America.
So how many languages, do you know, how many languages you've been working in?
Yeah, we're currently in about 130 languages right now. And yeah, and we've worked in well more than that, but okay. Yeah, right at this point.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does it take to work in over 130 languages?
That blows my mind.
I know. Cleverly asked. Just the resources, the people, the partnerships. I mean, it's got to be very complex.
It takes all of those things. Number one and foundational is a lot of prayer.
Yes.
And a lot of goodwill, a lot of time spent getting to know people, listening, being with them in their space. There's technical capacity. This day, we doubled that number from about 70-some, about 5 or 6 years ago, to where we're at now, mainly by an intentional investment in the local capacity and the regional capacity in the partner churches and communities that we're partnered with, and saying, like, if it's going to take, you know, a missionary from the United States for every single language, we can never get ahead of the demand. Investment in the local capacity is a critical piece.
Tell us more about those partnerships that you're able to build around the world to really make this happen.
We are in partnership with, in the local and national setting, Bible societies, Lutheran churches, and then, you know, language associations at the local level. And then multiplying that, we have entered into a partnership of Bible translation organizations, international organizations like ours. Us and 10 of the biggest Bible ministries in the world are together in an alliance to basically end Bible poverty, end the lack of Bible access by the year 2033. So we have partnerships at like every level, you know, globally, regionally, nationally, and locally.
Let's talk about some of those celebratory moments.
Sure.
When you reach a milestone, finish a book of a translation of a book of the Bible or the New Testament, or reaching a milestone. What does that look like to reach a milestone like that, and the work that goes into it, and then celebrating that, marking that occasion?
Yeah. It's so amazing. It used to be like a milestone looked like, here's a whole New Testament or a whole Bible, and it's been like 20 years or 30 years or like the whole lifetime of this language community, and here's the first milestone. Really leaning into milestones of like a book of the Bible or sections or things like that. But what does it take to get there? I mean, there's four stages of translation work that happen. There's a drafting, bringing together a team of folks locally to check it all out and say, does it sound right? Is it spelled right? And things like that. And then taking that out into the community, which sometimes it's like when I lived in Botswana, is loading people up in a truck and just going going out to villages and seeing who shows up and you read this and let's talk about it. In today's world, there's also like Zoom and sending emails and getting people together to talk about it. But this whole community aspect of like the community participating in the production of the text and the revision. And then, you know, there's a publication consultant on behalf of the publisher that'll come and say, like, have we covered problematic areas? How's the I say doctrine and that can sound, but you know, is it a good translation of the Bible where it's clear, where things are clear? And you know, anybody listening, of course, knows that there's certain areas of the Bible. It's like, we're not exactly sure what this means. And it's, you know, and that level of ambiguity should exist in the translation as well, all that stuff. So then a celebration, what's that look like? I mean, in the best case, and most of the situations we're in, the local community drives, like, we want to celebrate God's word coming into our community in this tangible way. And I've seen lots of different expressions. I've been at a thing where, like, all the Bibles were loaded up on an ox cart that wounded through the village, and then they were unloaded. And it's like, the ox cart is how the paramount chief arrives. Like, the king has come. And in this case, you know, the king has come through his word. And I mean, I just love it. There's big celebrations, hours and hours. Yeah, just good times.
We're going to talk about one of those dedications that happened in Ghana that you were present for in just a moment. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Rich Rudowski, Executive Director for Lutheran Bible Translators. And before we went to break, you were talking about the dedication, the celebrations that happen when these books of the Bible are finished. And you were recently in Ghana to celebrate the dedication of the full Bible in Kamba. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. For me personally, the very first time I heard about Bible translation and the connection I had was with folks that were going to be brand new missionaries that went to the Kamba language community when there was they did stuff from scratch, the Bible work. And so, like, I got interested in Bible translation following this project as a student. And so to actually go there and see places that I only seen in pictures and to celebrate this milestone of, you know, 66 books of the Bible all done in a book and in audio form, it was amazing. So it was like the longest trip, just out to the rural areas. I was with folks from the Bible Society of Ghana, the publisher, and the president of the Bible Society is like, I live in Ghana and I've never been here. I mean, like, it is out there. So, I mean, just dancing and celebrating. I was trying to just sit on the side, but I got seated and moved up behind all of the chiefs in the Kamba kingdom, I guess, if you will, in that region. They each had a part they spoke, and the way they had the books themselves enter the ceremonies. Every paramount chief had given his drum and his drummer. So usually a chief coming in gets drummed with a person and is dancing and whatever. They all gave their drums and their drummers to like one big processional thing so that every chief, the King of Kings, was coming. That was kind of the message communicated with all this drumming and all this dancing. And yeah, gosh, it was just amazing speeches. And there was an auction to like sell the first Bible and the bidding for it. Like the first guy that bought a Bible paid the equivalent of like almost $1,000 for that Bible to have the privilege of being like, I am the first one to own this Bible. And it was amazing. And just the love of God's word, you know, the next day when the scripture is read in church, you know, when I was done with the scripture reading, there's a standing ovation. And I'm like, that man, I would love that to be every week in any church I go to, you know, that we are that enamored with that God is speaking. So yeah, it's just, it's amazing to see people experiencing God speaking to them when they haven't before. You know, so familiar to us, but it really is a miraculous thing. And it's just amazing to watch.
What are the circumstances for a church like that, that doesn't have a full Bible translated in their language? What are they, practically, what are they doing? And I'm sure there are many different scenarios, but what does it look like for churches like that that don't yet have a Bible translated?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of the world's communities are multilingual to some level. So they will have been operating with, in this case, they've used English Bibles, and there's a bigger regional language in the area where they would have used that Bible translation too. And so, I don't know if either you took any Spanish or French or like know something like that, right? So like if you picture like, well, if somebody was reading the Spanish Bible, like I might pick up a few things, but there's a lot of barriers there. So they're kind of operating really at a disadvantage, maybe trying to translate on the fly, guessing like this is what this means, I think, stuff like that. Just a lot of uncertainty in it.
It's really bringing clarity.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the translators I worked with in Botswana when we had the dedication. Then she said she was an amazing student of the Bible before she even worked for us. And still she said, like, you know, when you have a Bible in another language, you'll think you know what it means until you have it in your own language. And then it's like, okay, I never quite got that. And it's even hard to explain because she's trying to explain to me in English, but she said, like, yeah, it says abide. And I thought it meant abide, but it really means abide. And I'm like, okay, so like, but there's a different word that really just hit the heart differently that, yeah, it's the close connection that's missing when you're kind of operating in a second or third language.
What kind of impact on you does it have to be around people who are so excited to have a Bible? I mean, we have Bibles sitting on our desks right here. Yeah. We're surrounded by them in the English language. What impact does that have on you and the work that you get to do to see people so excited to have a Bible in their own language?
It just reminds me of the great gift I have and compels me to pick it up every day and hear what God's going to say to me today and to advocate to anybody who will listen to me. Read your Bible. There is no substitute for reading your Bible. There's a lot of great helps. There's a lot of great devotional books and podcasts and things like that, but nothing replaces reading your Bible. And every time I see that, it just renews that fire about how amazing this word is.
We've talked about the challenges with different languages and the value of having clarity for someone to hear God's word in their heart language, their own language. What are the rules? What are the guides that you have to hold to? How universal are they when it comes to translation? This is really just coming out of my own genuine curiosity.
Sure, yeah, no,
what are the rules you have to hold to in order to uphold the integrity so that you know that the message they're getting is truly from God's word that that's going to make it clear in their language?
We are a founding member of a forum of Bible agencies that operates on an international scale. And that forum, we developed a list of like best practices for Bible translation that we subscribe to. And it has to do with some technical method, but also practical things such as the translation can't have like sectarian bias in it or things like that. So like a real easy to grab example, I think, is that in a text where Jesus is instituting communion, it can't say, and Jesus said, this represents my body, right? Mm. It also can't say, this really is my body, right? Because it doesn't say that in the text. It just says, this is my body. And so you got to leave it how it is. And these are some of the areas that get checked. Theology can develop locally. And of course, that's why, you know, it's important as we work and see Bible translation milestones reached in communities. We want to invite other ministry partners alongside, like in the Lutheran church space, that there's a need for now some theological education to understand, you know, what are the principles that we use to interpret this. But we don't, on purpose, we don't bring interpretation into scripture. There's a certain level, there's a whole, you know, spectrum of what you can explain and what you need to make explicit that's implicit in the original text, but you got to make it explicit because the people that heard it originally understood it. You know, there's all that stuff, but that's why there's that consultant level, you know, publication who's kind of trying to check on all that stuff and see. So we subscribe to that as a important component of what we do in Bible translation, that we've agreed with the Christian church at large that this is how we'll conduct Bible translation.
You mentioned earlier the partnerships that LBT has to do this global translation work. Let's talk a little bit more about the goal that you mentioned. Tell us more about what that goal is for global Bible translation.
Yeah, the goal is that every one of the world's 7,300 plus written or spoken and sign languages would have access to a catalytic part of God's word. So for most of the world's population, 95% of the world's population, that's the full 66 books of the Bible. And then for 100% of the world's population, even the smallest language communities, even if there's only like less than 5,000 people, at least 25 chapters of scripture as a bridge to more translation or a bridge to another language. And then, you know, New Testament for, you know, 99.96 is actually the statistical number, that high of a percentage has the access to the New Testament or 260 chapters of scripture. So again, this is all catalytic for what would come next. So the short version that is, by the year 2033, there would not be any language in the world that would say, we have never had any access to any part of God's word in our language before. And so, you know, that environment opening up, like, what can we do now? How can we go deeper? What's more translation? But with that tension removed, like, we face this tension now. There's places where we're doing amazing work and the church is growing and we could go deeper. And we're also saying, but those people over there have never had any access to any part of God's word. And so the goal is by 2033, that tension is resolved and the church's need for ongoing Bible ministry then can kind of really step up to the top and drive what happens next.
Why is it important for Lutheran Bible translators to not just be at the table, but to be on the front lines of this historic goal?
This is never going to happen. This never happened in all of history. So it's not even like a once in a lifetime milestone. This is like a once in history milestone that all of creation, all of every single language community will have access to God's word. That's never happened. And as Lutherans, with God's word being our great heritage and, you know, our foundation of why we came to be, if there is a Christian movement on the planet that's saying we want to be sure everybody has access to God's word, Lutherans got to be at the front of that line. And that is my, you know, appeal and plea. Recognize this season is happening now. We are a part of it and leading it. It's never going to happen again. And you are part of it now as a Lutheran of making this happen, that God's word is not somebody else doing it, it's us.
That is a historical. Where are you in the process? What's happening right now in the progress toward that goal?
Yeah, at the alliance level, we are tracking starts. I mean, it's not really too much of a no-brainer, right? But like a leading indicator, if you're going to meet the goal, is that everything's gotten something started. So we are tracking, and for the first time, under 500 languages remaining that need something started. So really just as an alliance, tracking like where is there still gaps? Where is there a plan that something's going to start and no plan? Who can get in position for that? And so as, you know, again, we're part of a collective impact alliance of several folks looking at that, but we've identified like here's a spot that it makes sense for us to jump in and taking great steps to expand in those areas. And yeah, so that's where we're at right now in all transparency when we run the numbers and data as the alliance. We're not on track to get it done by 2033 yet. It's more like 2037 or 2038. But about 6 years ago, the first time we had good data to try to figure that out, we were on track for about the year 2150. And
okay.
So like over 100 years has come off the goal through better planning and collaboration and use of technology. And yeah, just sometimes just having a goal that we're all aiming for and that like level of clarity has all helped.
That really is a historic goal for LBT and all of your partners to be working on. Where can people follow this historic goal and all of the work that LBT does?
Yeah, the best is our award-winning website, lbt.org. And yeah, if you check out lbt.org, you can see all the programs that we're following. We've got missionaries from the United States. You can check out their stories and yeah, get a picture of where things are at in the global Bible translation movement.
The Reverend Dr. Rich Hrudowski, Executive Director for Lutheran Bible Translators. Thanks for joining us on the Coffee Hour.
My pleasure. It was great to see you guys.
You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.